Lembit Opik on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Lembit Opik Show here on today's News Talk, TNT, where it's mid-morning. Actually, just afternoon now. Sorry about that and living in the past here in the UK. Evening in Australia, early morning in the United States, wherever you are in the world, you're most welcome. And thank you for joining me at the home of free speech, today's News Talk TNT, where we find the facts, kill the spin, and tell it like it is as best we see it. Facts, yes. Opinions, yes. But we never mix up the two. Your only job is to bring your thinking skills to the show. Love to hear what you have to say. I'll read out some more of your comments in a moment. In the next hour, not this one, the next hour, we'll be speaking to Shane Batra about his frustrations regarding, international meddling by British politicians with this non-existent climate crisis. And do phone in if you want to. If you want to give me the facts to explain why I'm wrong about that, then I will give you airtime. There's no problem with that at all. Or put it in the chat as well. If you think that there's a climate crisis, give me the data though. Don't just tell me I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong. But in this hour, we're going to look at the human factors, the performance factors, which cause politicians to behave in ways which, in a normal conversation, you'd find exasperating. If you were with somebody who just didn't answer the question, you'd perhaps think, what's wrong with them? Well, why do our politicians, people who serve us, who get paid by us, seem to find it impossible to have a normal dialogue with us? Not all of them, of course, but quite a few. Nick Dark knows all about that. We're not going to be partisan. It's not about which party you should vote or it's about the psychology of politics, and we'll see where that goes. Before we go on, though, let me just try and catch up with some of the very lively comments that we've got here in the chat. Hermetica says, let me just explain if you've just joined us. In the previous hour, I revealed that a chap called Steele Horton, a Green Party candidate, works as a commercial pilot. And it strikes me as ironic. So slightly confusing. I would like to get him on. In fact, I will see if I can get him to join me for an hour just to explain his thinking about that, what looks like a crassly contradictory thing. He needs people to fly in order to fly planes, and yet he doesn't want us to fly. If I can get him onto the show, I will. I'll be perfectly polite. I want to know his logic for what he says. Some suggest that he's doing that because he intends to retire from flying and go into politics. Hermetica says councillors only get paid for expenses and it's a part-time job, so he wouldn't have been able to give up his job on that. He would still have to become a member of parliament. Actually, when I was a councillor, I got £40 a week. That was my payment. £40 a week. I spent all of it on leaflets and so on. And now you can get £18,000 or more in some council roles. Don't know how much this one would have been paid for. I'm not sure what the value of that role is. But it's not quite the same as when I was a councillor. Let's remember that was in the early 1990s. That was like 30 years ago now. And yet, maybe it's fair to suggest that most people go into local authority work, into council work, probably don't do it for the money. Madrid says, I know someone that got the checkbook and he has sent one to the council for the tax and the whole year just waiting to see what happens. Now, Madrid's talking about certain changes that are going on. You need to look at the whole thread to understand it, but it's worth reading because while that may sound a little bit obscure, it does make sense if you read the whole thread. That's why I think you should go in, sign up for tntradio.live, see the chat. Craig Abarth says, the green agenda will lead to a whole lot of slime that society will slip on like a banana peel and land on its backside, would have been a better word, Craig Abarth, but I see why you used the one you used. Well, Melbury says that Lembit need to get Duncan back on in the future. He will be back, Lord Melbury. Duncan is a very, very good and, in my view, authoritative person for us to have on the show. Lots of thanks to Duncan from various people there. Just a couple more. Erasing climate ambition, says Bonus Years, instead of C40 cities raising climate ambition. That's what we're going to be discussing in the next hour, not this one. And the greed agenda would be a good start. Well, we're going to be talking about all of that. And one more. My friend is a counsellor. She gets £5,000 for the year for expenses. And that's it. Well, that's true, Hermetica. Your friend is probably being a bit shortchanged compared to some others. I was never keen on counsellors being paid. I think it should be something you do as a civic service rather than as anything else. But keep your calls and comments coming on that. In this hour, I want to talk about a different aspect of politics, and this is relevant the world over, whether you're in China or in Caracas, whether Liverpool, London, Lima, or Sydney, wherever you are, this is relevant. It's about the dynamics of politics. What causes politicians to behave the way they do? And in my experience, the world over, there's a certain similarity to how politicians behave. All of that with Nick Dark and me, Lema Topic, right here on TNT.
Keeping the commitment.
I love you guys.
Unbelievable.
24/7.
Listen to you every day, have for years.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Nick Dark, human performance expert. Welcome to the Lema Topic Show once again. How have you been?
Thanks so much for having me on. I'm fantastic. Thank you very much.
You must love this time of year when there are elections, not because you're going to talk about the party politics, but you do talk about the people psychology of it all. Tell us a little bit about what you do before we go into that.
Okay. So human potential really means, obviously, the potential that we all have as individuals and humanity as a collective to be the fullest expression of ourselves, to live happily, healthily, potently, and cohesively. Hopefully that gives a concise overview.
Do you live in San Francisco around 1968 singing Kumbaya?
No. I'm not sure how effective singing Kumbaya is.
It's very diplomatic. If you are a Kumbaya singer, don't take offense. Nick is only asking the question there. You can have your say at tntradio.live. Some would say that what you've described is quite an optimistic mindset. There's an inference in what you do which suggests that we can do better.
Absolutely, always. Nobody's ever the finished article. Life is always in process, and all you can do is be in that process. And humans and life itself has the most amazing innate intelligence to it. So I'm massively optimistic about the potential that we all have to live in a way that is fulfilling to all of us, and maybe on the lines of Kumbaya, in harmony, actually, because that's actually how nature thrives. It might, if you look out the window, you might think things are sort of slightly chaotic, but there is a harmonic cohesiveness to everything that goes on. And we have huge resource, we have a huge untapped potential to engage with. And, you know, politics is an interesting topic in conjunction with this, because ultimately politics should underpin and support and enable that.
I noticed that you slipped in Kumbaya perfectly naturally there. I see what you did there and I admire it. In terms of what you're saying, we'll talk about the politics and psychology of politics just after the break. But in terms of what you're describing there, I meet a lot of people who regard our society as profoundly dysfunctional at the moment. Now, it could be that every generation and people of a certain age in every generation always say that, oh, nostalgia isn't what it used to be. If you were to give a health report for the state of Western society now, if that's a feasible question, and say if it's not, but if you were to give a health report, what would be your assessment of our state of mind collectively?
Magic question. I can answer that in a couple of ways. Firstly, again, I'll just go back to the point I made about process. Everything's in process. And what is interesting is, I think we're in a process of disillusionment. I think that's where we are collectively. And I think I've said this to you before, because we're in a stage where, certainly in the political sense, we have kept our perhaps distance with politics. A lot of people have. Obviously, some people have always been engaged, will always be engaged, and they love politics, and that's magic. But also, there are lots of people who don't like politics, not interested in it, find it grubby, inherently corrupt, et cetera, and don't want to pay attention to it. However, whether you like it or not, it's still there and it's still influencing your life. And now we're at the stage where it's influencing your life in a very direct way that you can feel the impact on a day-to-day basis. And so people are paying more attention. And as we pay more attention, we see the truth of the matter and we see more information in detail, which therefore starts us asking more questions and going through this stage of disillusionment and sort of a reality check of what is going on. So lots of people use the word awakening in terms of the stage that we're going through right now. I think that's a fair word to use. What comes next from awareness is action and more active engagement. And what I would also say, so that's one point, I would also say in terms of health check of where we are collectively, well, our political sphere is basically the litmus for where we are collectively, because your, let's say, quote unquote, leaders and world stage is the playing out of collective consciousness, collective trauma, because each and every one of us as an individual has our own set of beliefs, fears, drivers, behavioral patterns, and trauma, things that we've either dealt with well or not in life. And all of those things contribute to who we vote for and who we don't, whether we're even paying attention and whether we're not, what we're willing to debate and discuss with other people and what we're not. And so that obviously then influences what our collective, quote unquote, trauma looks like, and the actions that we all take then, which basically compounds and culminates in the world stage and is played out very visibly and very loudly through our political leaders. And Carl Jung even said this, we have individual trauma means we have collective trauma, which is played out on the world stage. So if you want to know where we're at, then politics is a good crucible, let's say, of everything that's going on. And that's why we're seeing so much change.
You use the word crucible. Prompts me after the break, I'll share my analogy. It prompts me to think about something I've noticed about what's going on at Crucible Theatre. It's a very famous place in the snooker world, the World Snooker Championships, which is a popular game in the UK and I guess elsewhere. It's being played out. Even as we speak this weekend, the final's taking place. And I see the snooker players behaving differently to politicians. We'll test that in a moment. Just one more question though before the break, Nick. You use the word trauma a lot. There'll be viewers who say, I'm not traumatized. I have a happy life. I love my kids, enjoy my work. How can they be accused of being traumatized?
Okay, great question. So I use the word trauma. I wouldn't say in the loosest possible way, but let's explain really what trauma is. Ultimately, trauma doesn't have to be an event, a extreme event that you experienced in life, which you can deem trauma. Trauma basically just means the collection, as I say, of fears, self-limiting beliefs, experiences that you haven't properly metabolized in your system, in your nervous system, in order to be clear and lucid and functioning without that lens ultimately. So let's say we all have life experience, and it is up to us to metabolize that life experience as best as we possibly can. And it is when we get to the stage of being unable to process certain parts of life experience that we start to collect what you can deem as trauma. So basically anything that is not fully reconciled within your system is trauma. And that can be different for anyone. So for example, you and I could be in a shop and it could be held up at gunpoint and you might panic and freak out and I might just be like, oh, okay, just keep myself back and let that happen. And then I'll be fine. You might find that traumatizing. You might process that. You might take time to process that. That might stick in your nervous system for a while. I might just not be bothered by that in the slightest, have taken a slight learning from it and moved on. And so we all respond differently. It's about your response to environment and how you metabolize it. So, you know, even as a child, calling for your parent and them giving you to a grandparent instead can even be like a little micro element of, oh, why didn't you give me what I need? And usually at that age, you can't necessarily process it that well. And so that's the things that sort of build up to our trauma patterns in life, which are basically our behavior patterns.
What I learned from what you're saying is implicitly, you think you're braver than I am. That may be true. I hope we don't find that out in a gunpoint hold up in a shop sometime. You're listening to Nick Dark. And after the break, we're going to apply what Nick said there to the political system. Why do politicians behave the way they do? Lots of politicians saying, oh, this is a good result for us. In fact, all the parties more or less saying that one way or the other. Stay with me and put your calls and comments in as well. You'll find the details at tntradio.live. This is the Len Bitopic Show. This is TNT. See you after the break.
TNT's Alex Zaharoff-Royd.
Chuck, when it comes to AI, there's a lot of talk about how AI will take people's jobs. And there's also talk about whether AI art is real art or not.
Will it take jobs? I think it's going to streamline jobs. You know, I think people, we're going to have a bunch of dinosaurs that sit there and go, that's not art. We're going to have a bunch of people that go, that's not a way to write an email. But the fact of the matter is, I just finished this task in 30 seconds and it takes you 5 minutes and a coffee. Like, who? Like, there's somebody that's going to hit the finish line first on that one. So I think it's important that we streamline the BS. You know, let's get all the call centers, all of the government, all the rego, all the BS that we need to deal with. Let's put that into an AI model. Thank you very much. Every Centrelink visit, realistically, should be happening through an AI LLM for these. Like, let's get rid of that. Free up some humans to do better human things.
Talking Tech with Alex Zaharoff-Royd on today's News Talk. TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. Thelightpaper.co.uk.
TNT. Good for fans of justice and truth. Today's News Talk. TNT.
Welcome back to the Len Bitopic Show here on today's News Talk TNT. The time flies by. I'm with Nick Dark. I want to make the most of her time, a human performance expert, human potential expert, to be precise. Some comments before we go back to Nick and apply her theories of why we behave the way we do, to why do politicians behave the way they do. Madrid says we've always been slaves, now they want us to act like slaves, adding, Nick, we are collectively in a mess. The voting system is not relevant in the modern world. To which Ming-a-ling-a-ding-dong, I always like reading that out in full, says Klaus Schwab comments, there will be no need for elections in the future. I'm not sure if you're making that up, Ming-a-ling, but what worries me is I don't know if you're making it up. That's the worry. He may really have said that. And that's a worry. Do tell me, can you put in the chat, Ming-a-ling, is that an actual quote or not? I'll take it on trust if you say it is. It just sounds like the kind of thing Klaus Schwab would say. The man who told us we'd have nothing and still be happy. I bet you he isn't somebody who subscribes to having nothing himself. Craig Abath responds to Nick Dark's comment. We are all traumatized by our culture being destroyed. Where shall I start? The biggest trauma I feel is the lack of accountability and repercussions for mendacity and corruption. Thanks for that. Ming-a-ling says, for me, it's the lack of thinking of the sheep and all the parents that are not aware and suffer the children. Craig Abath adds me too to the point about the lack of thinking. Ming-a-ling adds, and obviously government-enabled migration. Migration is now coming up quite a lot here. A new word Madrid's coming up with, sheeple, somewhere between sheep and people, like it. Mazzy says, no, he's not Lembit. Not sure which one that's to clarify what you mean. I'll read that a bit later again. Ming-a-ling says it's true. I will find the link. Klaus Schwab, according to Ming-a-ling, really said, there will be no need for elections in the future. I want that quote. That's dynamite, Ming-a-ling. Please do put the link into the system if you can. And Madrid agrees. He isn't making it up. He did say it. It's a fact. A couple more here. Sunday Girl, politicians are groomed, compromised, and career motivated. Not for the people. If they have a moral compass, they won't last. Maybe that's what happened to me. Imperfect as I am as a person, I know what I stand for. I'm an intense libertarian. Maybe that didn't fit with the conformists. And two more. Klaus did say that about no need for elections, says Hermetica. He said AI could predict the results, therefore no need for elections. Really? This is ridiculous. This is like otherworldly, if it's true. Mazzy adds, it's true. I have footage from Davos with Klaus saying this on stage. There it was, said, and not only by him. Send me the link. Put it in the chat, please. And if you don't believe it for yourselves, join tntradio.live and you'll get that link. which I trust one of these trusty commentators and viewers will put in there. Back to Nick Dark, human potential expert. Nick, I was watching a lot of the coverage of the elections over the last few days. I don't expect you to make a partisan comment. That's not your style. But I do expect you to comment on this. I saw a British Labour politician, when asked, well, have you lost votes because of the fact you opposed the ceasefire in Gaza, say, oh, well, we'll take that on board. You know, we're going to be a really good government. Look at what the Tories have done. And then she was asked, do you think you made a mistake when Keir Starmer said he opposed the ceasefire because you've lost Muslim votes? And she couldn't answer the question. What is it about these politicians that stops them from saying, well, yes, we have to take that on board because the public don't like what we said?
Many things. Authenticity, their actual focus of what they're trying to achieve, habitual behaviour patterns, trauma again, fear. Sometimes comes under the guise of collective responsibility. Parties will talk about that, in that they're not, you know, shouldn't badmouth or criticize somebody else in the party, etc., which just looks like you don't actually have debate within the party and come to the right conclusions. But I would go back to the point of, you know, what is their aim here? Because if they're just giving spin, it's because they're trying to manage perception in order to get the outcome that they want and maintain a certain view of the party. And that is what is crumbling. Back to the point of, you know, what is the current state of sort of the collective consciousness and disillusionment? That is what is coming under fire, which is quite rightly why you've called it out, because people more than anything now are seeking authenticity and truth, and therefore the ability for people to just go, actually, yeah, that probably was something that we need to look at again, or we've learned from that now, or whatever it is, so that people actually understand what's going on. There is some sense of accountability, and therefore people can trust what comes out of people's mouths.
Breaking news. I can't look at it myself, but I'm assured that there is a piece of footage, is a link now, which says that Klaus Schwab said there's no need for elections anymore. Maybe we'll, if we've got time, we'll come back to that, Nick. It's not directly what I wanted to talk with you about. But what you've described there, then, let me think of an analogy. I'm interested in snooker. It's a game you play on a table with balls. I'm interested in snooker, but what I really like about it is the players are very honest. Before a game, they say, well, Stuart Bingham's playing really well. I am going to have to play my best if I'm going to beat him. And if they lose, he goes, well, he just outplayed me. I just wasn't at my best. And I wish him well. And it seems all very honest. And sometimes after a game, somebody says, yeah, I was really good. I was totally on form. I'm really happy with my game. Let's say Mr. Allen just wasn't on his best form and I was able to beat him. It's all very authentic. Why is it that these snooker players who are playing for hundreds of thousands of dollars in these games can be honest, whereas politicians who aren't going to lose a penny by telling the truth can't be?
What's their focus? What is their goal? So as a sports person or an athlete, your goal, you could say, is to win, but ultimately you win on your own merit. Your goal is performance, to perform well. That's the only way that you can win, right? Is there's no escaping it. You can't put spin on a football match and say, actually, no, yeah, we won. Or actually, no, we did a really good job of that, because everybody sees it. And you're there displaying your abilities in real time. And so one, there is just transparency of what's going on. And two, their goal is performance. And so then what does that tell us about politicians? Is their goal actually doing a good job, or, and, you know, getting to the truth and being clear and being transparent, or is their goal something else, which is maintaining of their position of power, which I can go off on a whole other tangent about, and what power is, and why do we have people in positions of leadership who are actually seeking power rather than standing in their own power and enabling other people to be in their power? That's really what leadership is about. Leadership isn't power over. Leadership is power to. Leadership is service, back to public servant You're there to enable people to thrive and live and stand in their own power as best as they possibly can. Therefore, if you spoke honestly and clearly about, yeah, we need to do that, we didn't do that well, we need to do that again, then actually you're also treating the people that you serve as adults and letting them know what's going on, the reality of what's going on, so they can make better, more informed decisions of what's going on. Which might tie us into Klaus, who thinks that we don't need any elections anymore and you don't need to make an informed decision and just decide for you.
Well, that's what it sounds like. Thank you to Craig Abarth, incidentally, for that link. Just a few more comments here. Mazzy, you don't need to give it now because the link is now there. I can't listen to it. I've just opened it. I'll look at it after the show. Lord Melbury says politicians are fakes and arrogant. That's why they can't answer simple questions. Craig Abarth adds, when you talk trauma, Nick, with your last name, I think you are compromised. Nick Dark. You're compromised because you're called Dark.
As you know, there's no light without dark. We all have trauma. My trauma, your trauma, our trauma, collective trauma. But you don't need to be embarrassed about it or try and hide it. All you need to do is attend to it. And we all have the capability to do that. But that's what politicians oftentimes are not doing, because they're more focused on seeking external validation rather than their own internal validation by living according to values and morals and doing a good job. I'm sure some out there are. I don't want to tarnish everybody with the same brush. But, you know, certainly in politics, there also comes things like, oh, does the ends justify the means? And then people start making trade-offs on their morals. And once they've done it once, they'll do it again. And it's a spiral. And so, you know, to really serve as a politician and to be transparent in integrity to do that takes a huge amount of personal work, I believe. To really be of true service.
Today, more than any other day of the year, it being May the 4th, Star Wars Day, I can say never underestimate the power of the dark side. Moving on, a couple more comments here. Mazzy says, unless some kind chatter can put this up, which I'd be grateful to, as my hands are a bit full, plus IT skills. Mazzy, as I say, that's already been put in by Craig Abarth, so you don't need to worry. Stop panicking. It's a great link. It works. Antimatica confirms the link works. I'm only talking about this because this is quite momentous. Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum, in his own words, is pretty much saying he doesn't think we need democracy. We can have AI instead. And I haven't listened to the quote. I have no reason to doubt what's being said. Hemingway says Schwab called for AI to go into a prescriptive mode, which means you do not have to have elections anymore because you can already predict. And afterwards, you can say, why do we need elections? Because we know what the result will be. What an amazing thing. Sunday Girl says, here's another 39-second clip of who she calls Satan Klaus. The link is just over a minute of footage. This is extraordinary. We've really kicked off something dramatic, and people should look at this link. This is profoundly insightful about the thinking of the top people at the World Economic Forum. A World Economic Forum, I would remind you that the next likely Prime Minister of Britain says he'd rather spend time than with Parliament in Britain. Keir Starmer said he'd rather be in Davos than in Westminster. It just gets worse and worse. Returning to what you've said now, Nick, I've been watching politicians who've been post-rationalizing bad results. It seems to me, even if what you say is right about performance and other motivations, and I want to talk about those motivations in a minute, I would respect a politician more who said, we had a really bad day. People don't like what we're doing. We need to listen and we need to review what we're doing. Surely that is more respected when people admit their weakness, because then they look like they've got off their high horse.
Of course. And that is what people want. And that is what we will see now over the next, I don't know, few 10 years. And we're going through that birthing process, basically, of people demanding better and a new, or let's say how it should be, way of functioning, the truth. And it's that because that's accountability. And just sort of slightly to tie it into the point that, you know, some of the comments that you've had, we're talking about local elections as well right now. And actually, the more people get engaged at a local level with their local community, and the more we dig into what is needed collectively at a local level and engage with the people who we think are going to be good representatives for us at a local level, the better those outcomes are going to be for us as a community, the better quality people in positions we're going to have. And they're also the more authentic and accountable they will be, because we've actually been engaged with the process.
That sounds idealistic as well as desirable. We have a, in my opinion, we have a political system where, in my opinion, again, few people can see the difference between the current Labour Party and the current Conservatives on all the big issues, opposing a ceasefire in Gaza, supporting what I believe to be a fake climate emergency, a lack of any cohesive sense of proportion about gender politics and so forth. There isn't really a choice. If what you say is correct, what should the public, the taxpaying public, to whom these politicians are servants, what should they be doing to correct what is clearly an inferior service from the politicians?
Yeah, so this is it. It's active engagement is the only way out of this. And because, as I said earlier, there are lots of people who are apathetic about politics and they're just disgusted with it and don't engage. And it's a very British thing to do to just, oh, I'm not going to vote. They don't deserve it. Da, 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 da. And almost like a little a silent, quiet British protest of just, I'm just not going to vote. But actually, the voting machine still goes on. And your non-vote, instead of being recognised as a protest, is actually acquiescence, because, you know, if we look at law and how everything functions, silence is acceptance, basically. And so activism is really, really important. Engagement is important. And if we all pay more attention, and if we all engage with each other collectively and what we want, and we engage with the system that is here, if there are, let's say, corruptions and glaring flaws in the system, if we're all engaged in looking at that, it becomes harder and harder for that to be swept under the carpet. If people aren't engaged and they just allow it to continue and just accept and expect politics to be like that, it will all continue. So it is through your attention, it is through looking at things that more comes to light. So as we inspect, as we see, as we all get engaged, it becomes very, very hard for people to hide things. And we get much more accountability that way. Because, I mean, the alternative is that, you know, people will also just start creating other structures and systems away from what is there, because I think we can all agree that what is there is a legacy system, and it is in the process, as I say, of undergoing fundamental paradigm change. That's what we're at the sort of the beginning of now, and what that journey is going to look like, what that process is going to look like, all depends on how we decide to engage with the process. As I said, our collective trauma determines what our political sphere looks like. And so it is possible that there will be people who sort of start things separate communities away from government and away from the current structures that we have, and try to create alternate societies, or that we have complete riot and social breakdown and destruction of what's there, and then we get quite into tribalism and birthing a new way through you know, those kind of methods. And who knows, it could be a blend of all these things. But ultimately, if we all engage, we all debate, we all are open to figuring out what the right approach is, and we all desire people who can represent and serve well, then we'll get there, because that's what we'll all discuss and debate and decide we want. And sure, it might be a bumpy ride, but ultimately that is the direction it will move in.
That's a powerful theory. Let's put it into practice after the break. When I just want to ask you, based on the recent electoral experience of Britain, what lessons we can learn as a planet, and what you would like to see those who are viewers and in alignment with you, and there are many, I'll read out some of the messages in a moment, those who are viewers who agree with you, what they can actually do between now and October, because many people say, I'm just 1/75 millionth of the population of Britain. So we'll come back to that in just a moment. You're listening to Lemotopic here on today's News Talk TNT. I'm speaking with Nick Dark, who is a human potential expert. See you after the break.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Asthma is a growing problem, especially among children. Asthma affects the quality of life for millions like me every single day. My name is Chris Draff, and I have asthma. And I've spent more than a decade in the NFL tackling asthma on and off the field. Join me in the EPA in helping people control their asthma. Asthma is a lung condition that can be controlled through medication and by avoiding things that can make it worse. 3 steps are the solution to controlling asthma. Step 1, talk to a doctor. Step 2, make a plan. And step 3, get rid of things that can make it worse. Asthma can be tackled. For more information on asthma, log on to epa.gov/asthma.
This is the Lembitopic Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Coming up in the next hour, we'll be speaking to Shyam Batra, who's got a different take on the recent elections. Again, of international interest, the extent to which there's obstruction in the system in order to try to prevent awkward candidates from standing that could upset the apple cart. I personally believe that the defending mayor of London, Sadiq Khan's in trouble in this election. He might lose. He might win. He might lose. I can't tell for sure. That's the whole point of the count. Whatever Klaus Schwab thinks, I don't think AI is going to tell us the answer to that one. And I want to ask him if he thinks that that there may have been some attempt to prevent opposition from the left, making it even harder for Sadiq Khan to stand. We have to be careful not to get prosecuted for what we say, but we'll come to that in just a short while. For now, we're still speaking to Nick Dark, who is a human potential expert. A few comments from you, first of all. Lots of interesting comments. And once again, thank you for that link, that dynamite link about Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, saying we don't need elections anymore because AI can predict the future. Talk about letting the cat out of the bag. Lord Melby says, Nick, my guest, has been talking about trauma. Lord Melby says, my trauma is the United Nations, World Health Organization, and the World Economic Forum. And Craig O'Bal says, he says, the greater good. Yeah, I think that's very telling. That's often the reason that we are told that we have to suffer. Sunday Girl says, I watched the Mr. Creosote sketch again from the other day from Monty Python, which is a really avant-garde comedy show from the early 1970s in Britain. What a genius clip. The waiter knows how to manipulate the fat controller just enough to push him over the edge with a wafer-thin mint. It's a perfect analogy for the snake eating itself and where we are now. If you haven't seen it, just put Mr. Creosote, Monty Python. I think there's some slightly rude language in it, so just be aware of your age if you're going to look at it. But it is a good analogy for where we are now. Fox says they're going to escalate Agenda 21. They're not going to backtrack and listen to the people. Our best hope is to organize amongst ourselves and refuse to follow any of their rules. I'll be covering that with Shyam in the next hour as well. And Lord Melby adds, I'm convinced that if some politicians said, sorry, I was completely wrong, they'd implode. Is that why they just keep on lying? And Fox says engagement is the last thing we should do. And Lord Melbury adds, when an election is rigged, acquiescence is just academic. And finally, Hemingway says, I see that Rishi Sunak has written in the Telegraph today saying that the Conservatives have a plan and it is working. So the Telegraph is now the Beano. which was a children's comic not long ago. Nick, there's a lot of cynicism, or maybe it was just realism, about the state of politics in this country. You described a game plan to get out of it. We have to work our way out of it with, I'm paraphrasing, with a mindset and a resolve that is performance orientated rather than, if you like, self-interest or personal interest orientated. But how do we do that when, in my opinion at least, we now have a more self-seeking and superficial political class, not just in Britain, but in the West generally, than we've ever had?
Well, I think it has to be truth orientated, doesn't it? Seeking what's real, what's true. And, you know, to pick up on some of your listeners' comments around acquiescence is academic if the voting's rigged, and, you know, about Klaus and that we don't need to vote anymore. Well, actually, let's talk about that, because, okay, fine, you say voting's rigged. So if we went the opposite to Klaus and we said, let's actually have total transparency over elections, and everybody can see how everybody else voted, makes it very, very hard to have rigged elections. So when we look at truth and when we look at more active engagement, and we understand actually, well, this is how we voted, so this outcome isn't correct. And we demand better accountability and better transparency of the processes. I mean, I'm not saying that's necessarily the solution, but you see where I'm going in terms of how actually we don't need to get ourselves into a place that voting is rigged. And, you know, I don't disagree that that's not a fair comment. There have been people jailed in the past for election interference. There have been legal challenges on votes. Certainly Peterborough back in 2019 was going to have a legal case brought about it. We can, you know, look at even the fact that we have a prime minister who was never elected by either the people or his party. So there are many ways that we can say voting doesn't matter, but do we want to get to a place where it does? And so how do we do that? Because how else do we have fair representation if we don't back down on that? And, you know, Klaus, very interestingly, with you don't need to vote because we'll just decide through AI. Well, that depends on who's programmed and the level of consciousness that's running through it. That's a big fat no in my book. However, what I will say is, on a completely different end of the spectrum, instead of AI, as we all evolve, our consciousness and our way of operating and our way of living and cohesiveness as society, the less and less you actually need leaders, because you work more cohesively and harmonistic in society. And so there could be a point at which, who knows what year we get to, where you actually don't need a ruling authority because everybody's standing sufficiently in their power and able to function and interact in a dynamic and healthy way with each other. But that requires human interaction and engagement, not AI.
The idea of giving our democratic process to AI, which, as you yourself say, is only as good and only as objective as the programmer, and will inevitably include some bias from that programmer, is truly shocking. I'm stunned by this revelation today. I think this is an amazingly big piece of news, actually, which hasn't really been covered. And I'm going to investigate this Klaus Schwab scandal, in my view, after the show. Before we go on to the next part, I'm just trying to keep up with some of the really interesting commentary here. I've read Hemingway's. A grumpy old woman says, maybe we are not supposed to know what the plan is. High immigration, legal and illegal, higher energy costs, higher food costs, etc. That's their plan, and it seems to be working. Sunday Girl says, it's also woke land, but women talking about that time of the month, and it starts with a song about a man's personal parts. Aha! I've seen an advert for the Eurovision Song Contest, and it's incredibly sexualized. I don't want my children watching that advert, and I certainly won't be letting my children watch the Eurovision Song Contest, which is meant to be good, clean fun, but instead it's got really strong sexual overtones in it. And apparently that's all okay because it's the woke agenda. I'm not comfortable with that. Mingling says just about engagement. Yeah, it sucks, but it's definitely true. We're being forced into something. Mr. Moose says, lovely sunny London, and Klaus and World Economic Forum take a hike. That's a paraphrase, Mr. Moose. It's a paraphrase. You know it. From me, not you. I think you're more direct. Hermetica says, agree with your guests. Definitely, we need more transparency. Mingling says, it's dwindling now, the blue skies. Oh, right. So it's even clouding over where you are now, Mingling. I get it. I'm not taking responsibility for that. It's climate change. Well, weather change, basically. And one more, Hermetica. I guess if everyone knew how we all voted, though, then those who disagree with us could target us. And that's a problem with what you said, Nick. If we all knew how everyone voted, then you could be intimidated even more by the bullies.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not sure that that's the most immediate answer. However, what does that require of you? If people are then coming to you and questioning you about your views, again, it forces you to get clear on your views, to defend yourself in terms of human development and performance. I mean, your capability and capacity is forged in the fire. If we want the truth and the right outcomes for society, that only happens in the battle of ideas and debate. And that doesn't happen far away just in Westminster. That happens day to day in with you in your community. That's what I'm talking about. And so actually, if somebody's going to question you and victimize you for your views, you're not going to be the only one that has that view. And that's the point. How do we defend the ideas that matter to us and that we actually want to champion? It requires courage. And if you can look around at society, or you can look at, let's say, Westminster politicians and see an absence of courage, perhaps. And so again, if our political leaders are a reflection of our collective consciousness, let's be brave. Let's stand up. Let's say what we believe and think and want, and see how we can forge that collectively. And that does require listening skills and talking skills and compassion and community to work through different ideas and be okay with them being challenged. Can we defend them? Do we come up with new ideas? And being open to changing our minds, because guaranteed a lot of listeners on this show would like other people to change their minds. There are other people out there that would like these listeners to change their minds. And so what do we do? What do we do? There is ultimately not going to be a stalemate if we want a healthy, happy society and way of living. We're always going to have differences. But at what point do we just accept those and let those be, versus having different communities and different setups and being okay with that and being able to talk about it? But certainly, fair point at the moment, where we are with cancel culture and victimization and woke agenda and et cetera, et cetera. Yes, people are targeted, but the more people stand up and speak, they can't target you all. And that's my point about activism and engagement and getting involved, because then collectively we all push through what we want.
The recent elections, which is why you're on, indicated to me a certain conformism between Labour and Conservative. If the vote had been the other way around, they'd have said just about exactly the other way around things. They wouldn't have been any different. If you didn't know, and this has happened while I've been watching the mainstream media, if you didn't know who the person was from, you have to wait until they start with the totally hackneyed, stereotypical commentary to try to figure out if they're on one side or another. There's no real ideological difference as far as I can see. We're a very far distance from what you've described, and there will be many who are watching today's news talk right now, listening to you. They'll be saying, I guess, well, I agree with Nick Dark, but it's just too big a mountain to climb. I've got my life to live.
Well, then that'll determine the pace at which we move, doesn't it? And how that plays out. But yes, fair point, the uni party. However, there are the smaller parties coming through with different ideals. And obviously, they don't get necessarily airtime on the legacy media. But that is crumbling now. Again, we're going through a process of disillusionment. So there are, the internet has enabled many independent voices to come across. And so we are learning of different parties and different ideologies. And it's about seeking those out. If you're going to look to the same places for different solutions, then, you have to look elsewhere. And again, back to the point of active engagement and participation, stand up and lead. you know, it doesn't have, we don't have to outsource to other people all the time. I mean, you know, there are ideas about, you know, what would an ideal political system look like? Perhaps we have shortened terms for service and that you're only in there for a few years and that's it. Then you have to go back out into the private sector and therefore you will be measured on merit and the quality of what you've done, not just incumbency and, you know, scratching each other's backs. There are all sorts of different ways we can look at it, which means that actually we all collectively govern ourselves and that we choose appropriate people to do that. Yes, if you're saying the two main or old or legacy parties aren't representing what you want and something different, okay, get involved. How do we create something different?
The commentary, just a few more comments before I give you the final word. Commentary includes comments like from Mingling, who says most of the public don't really know what the World Economic Forum even is. A number are highlighting the interesting family history of Klaus Schwab, which I won't go into just now. And one more, every British prime minister, says Hemingway, is only head of administration for the town council. The various globalists, one world government institutions run this country now. We never voted for any of this. And now we vote, when we vote, there isn't anyone available to vote for who intends to bring anything more than just another admin clerk for the globalists. There's quite a lot of frustration here. If you were to sum up from your human potential perspective what the frustrated masses could do next, what would be their immediate practical next step? Now, I doubt whether you're going to ask them to join a particular political party, but there must be something they can do in terms of converting their frustration into action.
Absolutely. I think talk in to each other. So guaranteed we find communities where they ultimately become echo chambers, and because, you know, birds of a feather flock together is the old adage, and that's magic. But however, when you are having a conversation with a new person or a neighbor or whatever it is, start talking about it. Just engage in the topic. See where they're at. See what they're thinking. Notice how you respond to it, to the point of your trauma. Are you just angry with them, judging them, thinking they're stupid, whatever it is? Or can you look past that and say, okay, well, did you know this? Or where are you at with that? Or like question, encourage debate on a really local level is a very simple way that you can get engaged. You can also look out other political, there are other political parties out there with different viewpoints. Like Reform Party has actually done not bad in this local election. There are other parties like Heritage Party. There are other conversations that are starting to be had. So seek it out. Look online for other voices, but be your own voice. Engage. And
you are always a voice of reason, Nick Dark. Thanks for your perspective. That's Nick Dark, human potential expert. Coming up next, we're going to hear about the shenanigans in the mayoral election in London. We'll find out the answers, who wins this afternoon. We'll find out the problems right now. Stay with me, Len Bitopic, here on the Len Bitopic Show on today's News Talk TNT. See you in a few minutes.